إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد all praise is due to Allah And we ask Allah to exalt dimension, grant peace, and send His blessings, and raise the ranks of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, his wives, and all those who follow them on their path of righteousness until the end of time. Is this Hollywood or something? Anyways, I always have to make that joke. Not everybody likes it. But then again, not everybody's supposed to like every joke. Some jokes are meant to be bitter. Da'wah. Of course, is the most favorite topic to discuss. Not only for du'at or public speakers, it should be the actual feeling shared amongst every single Muslim. This is because of the mutual obligation we have in regards to da'wah. Looking back at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who followed them in righteousness and goodness, until today and until the end of time, and those who will follow them until the end of time, we find that there's a common denominator between them. The common denominator between them was their extreme concern towards the deen. You see, Muslims today are divided into so many different groups and categories and all kinds of things. In terms of what they call themselves when they create their own sects with a title for it, or in terms of facts, even if they didn't call themselves anything, factually speaking, Muslims are not at the same level in terms of their adherence to the deen. So you'll find a Muslim who's only Muslim on his ID. Only his name indicates Islam, or his passport may have a blank or a place designated for the religion, which will be Islam. Some just inherited from their parents. My parents are Muslims, therefore I must be a Muslim as well somehow. I'm sure that I am a Muslim somewhere in this whole process. And then you find some that they're a little bit better than the others, but they're still not really confident enough about their deen. Then you find some who are confident, and they find pride in this religion, and adhering to it, and calling the people to it. And then you find the elite among the people, and the elite among the people are those who breathe Islam. They breathe it like people breathe air. They are constantly, always, continuously thinking about how to provide service to this particular deen which Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us Muslims with. This is something that they're concerned about around the clock. And these are the best of people indeed. They are the best of the people because they are the most to imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They got closest in imitating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who never missed out on any opportunity to invite people to the deen of Allah and to remind people of the rights which Allah azza wa jal has over them. And so the more we resemble the prophets, the better Muslims we are. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرُ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Verily, in the Messenger of Allah, you have the most excellent example to follow, but not for everyone. Allah mentioned who are the people who will be keen on following the Sunnah. The one who hopes to meet Allah, and the one who is prepared for the last day, and the one who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. And in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is authentic, he said that there hasn't been a prophet except that he had among his people Hawariyun. Hawariyun, like disciples, who would listen, who would obey, who would carry out his command, who would live up to the sunnah. And then there would come other people who will say that which they do not do, and they will do that which they are not told to do. They will do things they are not told to do them to begin with. They will invent, they will innovate into the deen. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke that every prophet will have disciples who will follow the footsteps of that prophet to the best of their ability. These are the elite. The question which we should ask right now is, are you one of them? Am I one of them? Are we one of them? Are we of them? Where do we fall? Where shall we label ourselves? Truthfully speaking, without deceiving ourselves, without pretending something that is not real. The truth of the matter is, we got a long ways to go. A long ways to go. If you really want to be like they were, if you really want to resemble the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and propagate it amongst the people, we have a long way to go still. So da'wah then is the air which we breathe. It should be that which keeps us going. Bi-ithnillahi azza wa jal. What I would be focusing on, in order not to go overboard in the discussion and then have too many ideas which we cannot consolidate, I would like to focus on a phenomena that we often suffer from, specifically reverts, those who enter into Islam from another religion. One of the main problems they face is their family members. Their family members. How do I give da'wah to my family members now? And it's a very sensitive issue, because if someone is not prepared and then he tries to give da'wah to his parents or his family members, but he doesn't do the homework, very often it backfires. And one of two things happen. Either they reach a point where they say, never talk to us about Islam again. Okay? Never talk to us about this again. Khalas. This is the end of it. And therefore it becomes very difficult to reinitiate a discussion about Islam, because they have already closed the doors. The second common outcome is that the person apostatates or apostatizes. He leaves Islam. He can't deal with the pressure. He can't deal with the confrontation. He can't deal with the misconceptions. He hasn't been prepared. So they wind up leaving Islam after having entered into it. And either one of these outcomes is horrible and unacceptable. So let us focus on this issue. What is it that one of us has to do in order to effectively invite his family members to Islam? And to make it more relevant to everyone here, how can each and every one of us give da'wah to his family members, even if they're Muslims, but they're disobedient or they're following some other thing which is not according to the sunnah, and we want to bring them into the truth, bring them into the correct methodology? How do we go about it? So we will try to tackle both issues. There's always, of course, commonalities in the approach, whether you are the first or the second. Really, it doesn't make much of a difference, because there are some things which are common and some things which are specific. As for the common things, the most important element here is our behavior before our speech. We spoke about this last night, but as you know, many things will be redundant. They will be repeated, and repeating them is not necessarily boring. Otherwise, the Quran would have mentioned Jannah and Jahannam once. But you will find that almost in every surah, there's a mention of Jannah and mention of Jahannam, the mention of the Muttaqeen and the mention of the Mujrimeen, the mention of the believers and the mention of the Kuffar. Allah Azza wa Jal will mention things repeatedly. And this is one of the qualities of the Quran, that it brings that reminder back and over again, until it is internalized by the listener, by the reader, until it becomes part of their way of thinking. It's not something that is foreign to us anymore. So some of the things which we may repeat, don't let that yani make you feel disappointed. It doesn't make a difference. We need to hear this as often as possible. Our character. You see, if you study the religions of the world, you will find that they all probably in one way or another encourage dealing or treating parents with respect. Even if it may not be explicitly stated in their scriptures, you will find that their religious people will say, yes, you have to be kind to your parents. This is in terms of what they say, not necessarily what they do. What they do may be the opposite of that. In fact, it is very common amongst those who are not Muslims to go put their family and their mom or dad in an old aged home. When they reach a particular age and they can't deal with them, they need to go to the toilet and they cannot handle their own business in the toilet, or they need someone to help them eat and so on and so forth. The children are not in the mood to be dealing with all of these responsibilities. Look for the nicest place, pay some money and have the nurse look after the father or the mother. So this is very common. Islam, however, is very explicit and direct in terms of speaking about the rights of the parents. And quoting all the ayat is impossible now. But I'm sure you're familiar with them. And the one which you must have heard at least maybe 50 times in your life, if you have been a Muslim for a few years. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. No one knows it? وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ. Continue. Haha, we only know this one segment, huh? Half an ayah. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ. Yes? I have to tell you any ayah word per word? خلاص, give me the ayah. MashaAllah, now translate. I trapped again another person. Translation, sir. Today, who would like to translate on his behalf? No one. No one knows. Yes, sir. Ya Sheikh. طيب. This is the summary of the ayah. Can someone translate the actual wording? Let's familiarize ourselves with the Arabic language. وَقَضَى. What is qada? When you miss salah, you pray qada? That is one meaning. Qada. Qada here is like decreed. Qada on waqadar. And your Lord has decreed, أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ, that you shall worship none but Him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَنَ. He also decreed that you should be dutiful to your walidain, your mom and your dad. If one of them or both of them attain old age while you're alive and there, then do not scold them nor say to them, oof. Now the scholars say, had there been a smaller word in the Arabic language, Allah would have used it. But that is the smallest expression of dissatisfaction in the Arabic language, uff. This uff can be translated into other languages. Or it can even be translated to body language. So if one of us goes like this, ah, to his mom, come on, I'm busy. Any kind of gesture, any kind of facial expression which suggests an uff is haram per the text of the Quran. Then not only that, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Rather, say to them a noble word. Say a statement of honor and respect. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And lower to them the wing of humility out of mercy. وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Say, my Lord, have mercy on both of them the same way they raised me when I was little. Usama the Salaf, they saw him eating with his mom. They said, how come whenever you're sitting with your mom, you never eat? He's sitting with his mom, but he's not eating. He said, I'm worried that my hand will reach out to something which she has eyed, and I wind up taking away the food which she had wanted to eat. So he doesn't eat when he's sitting with his mom. When was the last time we did that? Another one among the righteous predecessors, can't remember his name now. He used to be giving a class, and he has his tullab, his students, learning. And then his mom would call him and say, go feed the chicken. And he's a sheikh, he's a alim. He would get up and go feed the chicken, doesn't argue with his mom, doesn't say, what are you talking about? I'm the sheikh. These are my students. You're embarrassing me in front of my students. This is unacceptable. He would get up, feed the chicken, and come back. And they would be shocked at the way he would conduct himself. His mother didn't know any better. Her son is the sheikh, but to her, he should be feeding the chicken right now. End of discussion. So this is how they behaved. Now imagine if you were to behave in this fashion with your parents. What kind of effect would that have on them? Tremendous. It will have an amazing effect. But very often we just read these stories, we are far from implementing them. But this is the most effective tool to bring your parents to Islam if they're non-Muslims. and or to bring him to the guidance and the sunnah if they're against the sunnah. What we do is become debaters at home. We learn something in the masjid. We didn't know it, by the way, just 2 hours earlier. We didn't know it. We learn it in the masjid. Now we want to go home and show everybody at home that I am the one who knows. So he will go to his dad and say, you know, what is this? Bid'ah. This is bid'ah. This is going to go to Jahannam like this. Where are you going? And he gives his father a huge lecture. Do you think your father is going to accept that? No way. Fathers are not meant to accept this kind of information and instruction. It's just not, it's not compatible with the father's state of mind, because he is your father. He feels that he taught you life. How in the world are you going to teach him anything about life? Therefore, you do not bring it to him in this particular fashion. You remember Ibrahim alayhi salam with his father Azar. Ya abati, lima ta'budi shaytan. My beloved father. That's one way you can translate ya abati. It's the nicest way to call your father. Why are you worshipping the devil? Why are you doing this? And the nicest way possible. Not stop doing this. This is haram. This is wrong. It's not going to work. So no matter how excited you are spiritually because Allah had just guided you, you have to understand that it is not effective to be dealing with your parents in this fashion. You have to control yourself and your excitement. So always make it appear like you're a student, not a teacher. The key to all that is that you are a student, not a teacher. You teach them by acting like a student. This is how they will like it. Better yet, if you know that your parents are the kind who don't like confrontation, when you speak to them face to face, they will not accept any information, why don't you write a letter or an email? It is much more effective. Dad or mother, whatever, you know, I love you very much. You are the most precious thing in my life. And I noticed that there are some things that are happening at home which don't please Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal has promised those who obey Him paradise and those who disobey Him with hell. And because of my immense love for you and concern, I kindly ask you to help me together. We should help each other get rid of this evil and take it out of the house. With, you know, regards and love and whatever, your son. And don't put a lipstick, you know, kiss on a letter. This is not for you to do to your mother. Okay? Once you get married, maybe your wife will do that for you on the actual letter. Something very nice like that, and leave it on her desk with some flowers, with some perfume, with some gift, and mind your business. This may do a better job than 20 hours of talking that you will be having at home, which will go from the right ear right out of the left one. So this is the approach that we should use. The one where we are not advising directly because it's difficult for parents to accept advice, and or we want to show gentleness, kindness and concern, and we are students learning from our parents. We are not the ones educating them. So if you were a non-Muslim, well, let me just have some statistics so it will be relevant. How many reverts do we have here? Those who were non-Muslims and entered into Islam, please raise your hand. Okay, good. So we have around 5-6 of them. Beautiful. Before Islam, you used to be at least an average kid. You could have been evil. You could have been bad to your parents. Now that Allah guided you to Islam, how are you supposed to behave? Is it the same way? Is it the same way? When you see your mom or your dad, how are you supposed to act? Who can tell me? You're sitting in your room and your parents, you're sitting in your room and you have your feet on the desk in the living room or even in your own bedroom, and your mom and or dad walk in. How do you behave? Do you just look at them and say, hey, what's up? Playing with your BlackBerry? Or do you change your position? You change your position. Do you perhaps get up and show some love, if it's in your culture, to kiss their hand or kiss their forehead or whatever? Do you do that? These are very important ways of da'wah. These are very effective ways of da'wah. Showing them the kind of respect which they deserve. This is more effective than a lot of talking. Sadly, we don't do this. Sadly, we don't do this. So it should be that your parents, when they see you, after becoming a Muslim, it's your parents who should say, "What happened to you? What happened to you? How come you have changed? How come you're so nice? How come and how come?" And then the da'wah has been being presented to you on a golden platter. Now you say, "Well, it's Islam." And Allah says in the Quran, and you quote the ayat, Surah Luqman, and Surah Isra, and Surah Al-Rum, and all the surah which Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the rights of the parents. You tell them, these are the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, and these are the commands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They commanded me to behave in this fashion. This is enough for them to become Muslim. You don't have to do much after that, because of the noble teachings of Islam. So then, the first way is in our character. The second thing is knowledge. You may not have knowledge, but have a good character. However, if you're able to gain them and reach a point where you can, you're given the platform to discuss Islam, you need to know what you're talking about. And this, let me just give you a worldly example. If someone, okay, let's say you're all IT experts here. Okay, this is hypothetically speaking. All of you are IT experts. And you bring someone who doesn't know anything about IT. Nothing. And then he says, "I'm going to give you a lecture about IT." And then he starts talking some gibberish, you know, talking some things like, everybody's honest, what is this guy talking about? He doesn't know anything about this. He just starts making up things. And people ask him questions and he says yes and no. And he gives you a detailed explanation. And everyone knows that he doesn't know. Is that good or bad? Or is anyone going to be convinced by him? Absolutely not. So sometimes Muslims do the same thing. They don't know about Islam, but anything you give them, okay, anything you give them, they will give you an answer. So brother, you know, is this halal? No, no, it's haram. Haram, haram. Why? Don't ask me why. I read it in one book. Very common answer. I read it in one book maybe 5 years ago. Who wrote the book? I don't remember. Where's the book? I don't know. Khalas, that's it. You read something in a book 5 years ago. You don't know who authored the book. And so now somebody asks you a question. You say, "Oh, it's haram." And the other way around. I saw it on YouTube. We have a million speakers on YouTube. If you listen to all of them in one day, you will finish up with total confusion. Because everyone will tell you something pretty much the opposite of the other guy. Very rarely do they agree on something. Is that reliable knowledge? Is that acceptable? No. So we have to learn the basics of the deen. The basics of the deen have to be learned by us, each and every one of us individually. So that when you sit down with your family members, you're able to convince them with the hujjah, with the proof, with the evidence. Not just because you feel like it, not because you are emotional about Islam, because the same way you are emotional about Islam, they are emotional about their religion. And so you are emotional, they are emotional, they may be more emotional than you. So what, they win? They invite you instead of you inviting them? So the issue of emotions doesn't really, you know, hold any water. You can bring anyone, you can bring a tree worshipper, someone who worships the tree, and he will come and cry in front of any of us and all of us and say, "You have to believe in this tree. This tree has saved my life many times. Had it not been for this tree, I would be a lost man. This tree guided me through the difficult times," and he will cry and cry and cry. Does that mean that he's right? Does that mean that he's right? That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything. Emotionalism does not mean anything. It has to be knowledge-based. So after we behave a particular way according to Islam, then we should equip that with beneficial knowledge. So when we have a discussion, we are having it based on knowledge. Knowledge of Islam and knowledge of the religion which we are inviting them from. What the religion do they follow? Have some background about it so you will not say something that they will say, "No, it doesn't, it's not like that in our religion." And lastly, because of time restrictions, Remember Nuh. Why did I say remember Nuh? Who could guess? Why remember Nuh? For how many years? 950 years. 950 years. Nowadays, it takes one of us 9 minutes and 50 seconds. And he's done. I'm never going to speak to them again. These are evil people. They're deviant. They will never listen. After 9 minutes and 50 seconds of talking, khalas, he's already declared all of them to be deviant for life. And so now he wants to boycott them. This is no good family members. We've heard and seen this many times. Family members boycotting other family members because they gave him da'wah once and the other party did not accept. Mind you, the one who was given da'wah was the total failure in the da'wah he was giving. So it's not even a hujjah established against them. It was only an attempt. Remember Nuh alayhi salam. 950 years. How often? قال ربي إني دعوت قومي ليلا ونهارا فلم يزدهم دعائي إلا فرارا وإني كلما دعوتهم لتغفر لهم جعلوا أصابعهم في آذانهم واستغشوا ثيابهم وأصروا واستكبروا استكبارا ثم أني دعوتهم جهارا ثم أني أسررت لهم أعلنت لهم وأسررت لهم إسرارا. يعني if you just reflect on these ayat, subhanallah al-azim, subhanallah, look at the explanation and the description. He called them night and day. Night and day he was giving them da'wah. And every time he would invite them, it would make them run away even further. They would get even further away from the deen. He didn't say, okay, the further they get, then I should hold back. He continued alayhi salatu wasalam. So much so that they reached a point where every time he would give him da'wah, they would put their fingers in their ears and they would cover their faces with their garments. They don't want to listen, they don't want to see him, they don't want anything related to da'wah. And he would do it publicly and secretly. This is the methodology of Nuh for 950 years. We can't even imagine 950 years. That the oldest person here could be 60, 70. 950 years of da'wah. Then at the end he made dua, when Allah already informed him that they will not believe. None will believe except those who believed with you already. So be easy with your family. Give them time. Be patient. Don't give up so quickly. It could take 2, 3, 4, 5, 20 years before they are guided. You have to maintain the noble character, and you have to maintain the acquisition of knowledge, and you have to maintain that patience until such time where either you die or they die or Allah guides them. Until death does us apart, in other words. There's no way around it. Don't ever give up on them. You never know when they will be guided. Evidence, the Prophet ﷺ with his uncle, Abu Talib, until his deathbed, he went after him and still trying to give him a last attempt for da'wah. Did not give up alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is the methodology in which we follow. It's very important to save our family members. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara wa quduha an-nas wal hijara. Oh, you who have believed, protect yourselves and your family members from the fire. After Allah guides one of us, which is a huge blessing from Allah, it is very important to be concerned about our family members, the immediate ones and the distant ones, all those around us. And you begin with the closest and then you go further. It is important to be concerned about them, to make sure that they receive the da'wah of Islam in the most effective way possible. This is our obligation. Not the obligation of the speakers on TV, not the obligation of, it's our own personal obligation to ensure that they have received the message. We may use other people to help us deliver the message, but we have to be the key with which the door is unlocked and open bi-idhnillah. So I believe sums up the time I have, I have an accurate recorder here, which says that I have 6 more minutes. But anyways, it's too late. Wa alaykum salam. Jazakum Allah khair. Hayyakum Allah. Allah yarda alayk. Okay, well, you know, he gave me a 7-minute notice, and so I'm going to stick to him regardless of what my recorder says. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu alayk.